What's up, y'all? Welcome to What's Happening with Carolina Chuck. If you haven't done it yet, please like and subscribe. I'm going to give you to the count of four. One, two, three. Three Mississippi, four. Our guest today is a veteran who won Olympic gold medal in boxing, not to mention a heavyweight championship that he successfully defended against Tommy Morrison in one of the most brutal knockouts of all time. He shared the rings with boxing legends like Lennox Lewis, Larry Holmes, and Evander Holyfield, Mr. Ray Merciless Mercer.
Come on to your butt.
You know, what you need is some of that hysterical perfect. You know what I mean?
We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm. Think of it, Junior.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so I met you in Watertown. I want to give a shout out to my coach, Johnny Pep, for hooking us up.
Johnny Pep, he's the man.
At the Watertown Area Boxing Club.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He came down here. I had a fight in, was it June?
Uh-huh.
I boxed in June. And, you know. I'm 39 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I had two opponents drop out because I'm fighting masterclass, right, from 35 to 45 years old. I ended up fighting a 22-year-old who'd been training for 8 years straight. He beat the crap out of me, dude.
That's a lesson to be learned for the time.
Yeah, listen, imagine a young man in the prime of his life, 22 years old, 240 pounds, foot taller than me.
Whoa.
I mean, he's a good guy. Yeah. I only feel bad that I couldn't make it any further than what he did to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I popped it off right off the gate and started in on him. And then I was like, man, this ain't the game plan. I'm supposed to try to last longer.
Well, you got to try to get him. The thing is, it's hard to last longer. The thing is to get him quick.
Yeah, so that's what I did. I started in on him. And then I was like, oh, that's not what I was planning on doing. I was going to jab a little bit, then do that in the second round. And shoot, I woke him up is all I did. And he started in on that body. And man, I'm telling you, hit me in the head harder than I ever been hit. But
I fought a guy that was 31 and I was 49.
Wow.
It was a 6-round. It was over in Sweden. I beat him. I won.
Yeah.
I beat him with the jab, man. But my jab, by the time I finished, man, my jab, I couldn't even get it back to come to here, boy. Yeah, man, I'm going down. I was tired. I've never been so tired in my life. But my wife was there. I had to keep going.
Right,
and I won, man. That was something else.
That's awesome. Yeah. This guy, well, he dropped me. He hit me in the body and then hit me in the head. I went down. I got back up. My only victory is he dropped me again, and I got back up and made the ref stop it. I was hoping my corner would be like throwing in the towel. I got to sell cars for a living, you know? Anyway, so I met you at a military appreciation dinner. So I wanted to start with your military career because I got a lot of I made a lot of friends around Watertown.
Yeah, yeah.
They were at
Watertown,
Fort Drum.
I love Watertown, man.
Yeah, so you got into boxing when me and you talked before, and you said you got into boxing in the military.
Yeah, I had joined the military. I was stationed at Fort Jackson. I took basic training. Then I got stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I was there for 2 years, and I got stationed over in Schweinfurt, Germany. And when I got there, they had a post-champion boxer in my unit, and he needed a sparring partner. I've never put on a pair of gloves or anything.
Yeah.
So he told me we had a 30-day field problem. We was getting ready to go out there. It was cold and the snow and everything. So I told the coach, you know, when we come back, then I'll do it. He said, if you say yes, then you won't have to go to the field. So you know what I said? I said, yes, boy.
Yeah.
I've never been so happy, man. And I thought, you know, because it was cold out there going to the field in wintertime. Reforger. Everybody knows what reforger is. You go to over there, man, in wintertime. So I was in the rears, man, three hots in a cot, and I was, you know, eating warm food and sleeping good, taking showers.
Yeah.
I forgot one thing. Never put on a pair of gloves before in my life. And here we have, I done volunteered.
That's what I was like. I was
like, post-champion. I like, now I start getting worried, you know what I'm saying? But I was out of the field. I didn't care. I mean, I'd take an ass whooping for that any day.
You said, I just signed up to be a heavy bag or something.
I didn't know anything about boxing, man. But then I got in there and the guys, you know, I just, off my just natural ability, man, you know, he beat the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I stayed in there because I didn't want to go back to the field.
No, hell no.
He kicked me. He could have did anything. I was not going to get that up. So after a while, man, after about 20 days or whatnot, I told the coach to show me how to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started catching on to things, you know, and 2 months later, I made this dude quit.
Nice.
So I was like post-champ, man. I went on to win 13 fights over in Germany before I lost one, and it was Joshua. But, you know, I had no name, and I thought I beat the dude in Joshua, but nobody knew me. So, you know, so that's when it really hit me, man. You know, that shit, I'm a boxer. All I got to do is knock somebody out, and I don't have to go to the field.
Was going to Germany a choice? Because I was looking that you spent some time when you were young in Germany.
Yeah, I went to, my dad was stationed over there, and we went over there in 1975, man. And I went to high school over there. I was a freshman. Played football and everything, man, and had the greatest time of my life.
What's football in Germany like?
It's not on the level as the States, but it's, you know, it's just us against other military families that's there stationed at different posts and all that, man. You know, it's fun going around. You know, it's not on the level of here in the States.
Right, right.
But what level we was on, we went 2 years without losing. My team, Hanau Panthers, man, we stationed Hanau.
So how'd you end up becoming a Steelers fan?
Reason being a Steelers fan is because my school colors was black and gold.
Oh, yeah? And you picked it up like that? Yeah.
And then Steelers, black and gold, they was winning. I liked them, you know.
Yeah.
So it was that. So I joined the military. Everything is black and gold with me because of the Steelers. Because of my colors from high school. I wanted to go with Pittsburgh, my colors. So I've been a Steelers fan. I've never been in any other football, nobody but the Steelers.
Nice.
Even when I was young and whatnot. So, you know, the Army, I joined the Army colors are what? Black and gold.
Black and gold, oh yeah.
And so my fight colors was black and gold.
Nice.
Black and gold off Pittsburgh, man. I wear my stuff with black and gold. It matches with the Pittsburgh stuff, it looks good.
I ain't gonna lie, dude. I knew we had this podcast coming up eventually. And when I was training for this fight that I just did, I was looking. I was like, all right, what's Ray wear out there? And I started looking for trunks that were black and gold, but ended up in black and white. But yeah. I was trying to copy you then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So when you had 13 fights in the Army, and what was the transition to? All right,
I was 13. I went 13 fights without losing. And then I think I got stationed in 85. I got stationed in Fort Benning. I tried to box there for a little bit, but, they want you to soldier in the Army. They don't
right.
want you to box. So I caught a little problems there. And then I got stationed back to Baumholder, Germany, where I really took boxing serious. And I was winning there. I went to all-Army camp in 85. And that's where I really learned how to do stuff, you know, and all of them. I came back to Germany, and I was whooping everybody's butt. And then in the last year, 1988, it was Olympic year. I went to all-Army Olympic year. I forget what month or whatnot, but I was there. As long as you won, you didn't have to go back to your unit. I didn't have to go back to Germany. I was able to stay here at Fort Huachuca, Arizona. That's where we was training. And after that, it was Olympic year, I got here, it was all Army. I had to win all Army. I had to win in the service. And then automatically I can go to the trials. In the Army, if you're in the military, you only have to do is win all Army or in the service. And you have a bid to go to the trials. So it was kind of easy for, we didn't even need the Nationals to go, but I went and I won that too. But won the Nationals, man, and here comes the tryouts, and here's almost a year gone for my unit, man. And I had a baby, my wife had a baby, and I wasn't there. They told me I can go to Georgia to see my baby be born, but I was on a mission. Yeah. I did not want to leave. I didn't want to break camp. I didn't want to do anything. You know, I love wanting to be there and everything, but I was on a mission also, man.
Yeah.
I made a lot of sacrifices already for her. So
yeah.
I wanted to see it through. So I stayed there, man. And I made the, I've been in the trials. I fought Tommy Morrison.
Yeah.
I think I fought Tommy Morrison with like the second guy I fought.
Was he in the military?
No, he wasn't in the military.
Oh, okay.
But no, he wasn't. This was in the nationals.
Oh, right.
No, the trials. This was in the trials.
Oh,
this
for the Olympics.
Yes, the trial. I beat him in the trials for the Olympics. And you know, he ain't really. I didn't know anybody in the States anyway because I was stationed overseas. So that's sort of how I played myself, is not knowing anybody. I had a friend named Al Cole that was in the Army too, and he was on the trials and all that stuff, and he knew everybody. So I used to ask him who I had to fight. I said, "How this guy?" He told me, "You should knock him out."
Yeah.
"We'll knock him out."
Yeah.
So everything he told me, I did. Because I was in the best shape of my life. I swear to God, I was in the best shape of my life. I wouldn't ride no bicycles. I wouldn't do nothing to get me off the Olympic team. I was already headed toward the Olympics and was on the Olympic team. And I was not going to do anything, you know, to upset that. Matter of fact, I missed bed check. Bed check, the punishment for missing bed check was you had to clean latrine after the
run. Oh, no.
You had to clean latrine after everybody takes showers. You know, you're talking about 50, 60 people.
Yeah. A lot of people.
So I had a girlfriend, and I was going, you know, just going to her house. She's off base.
Mm-hmm.
Going over there, barbecuing, grilling, swimming pool, basketball, everything, man. So I like going over there so much. I got caught a couple times coming in for bed check. This is a different time. This is during the All Army thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this girl. So what I did is I volunteered because I like going over there so much, and I didn't want to keep trying to sneak in.
Right.
I just volunteered to clean the train every morning.
Wow.
Every morning.
Slick.
So I didn't have to come in. I mean, I was 27 years old. I was the oldest guy on the
team.
So I didn't want to be treated like no baby make bed.
Right,
so I
got
caught twice already. So I just say, hey, I just clean nothing. I just clean latrine every morning. That way I can be drive. I can do what I want to do. So that's what I did. But for the Olympics, I missed bed check. We made the Olympic team. They had Tom Coulter. You know, you ever heard of him? Tom Coulter. He was in charge of the Olympic team.
That year
in 88, before Coach Adams. They fired him. But he was in charge, and I missed bed check. And our punishment for that was, and we was already on the Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
My punishment, me and Anthony Hembrick, our punishment was that we had an international fight against the Canadians. You know, they had that fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. You know, they said it told us we couldn't fight. I was like, no problem. I didn't want to fight anyway. Who wants to fight when they're on the Olympic team? Why would you fight?
Right.
It's stupid. So I was like, okay, no problem. So I didn't get to fight. I was glad. I was happy. I was happy as shit because I had to fight.
Wow.
But I didn't want to risk nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you're on that level, man, you got to take care of yourself. You don't want to get no car accidents. You don't want to get nothing that's going to ruin that.
Did you know that you have, like, aspirations to go pro after that? I mean, did you feel that was coming?
Well, I felt it was coming, but I really didn't pay attention to it because I was really, really concentrating on
living in the moment.
Living in the dreaming of the gold medal. That's all that I thought about. I prayed every night. I lived just for the Olympics.
Did the gold medal opportunity, that have something to do with, you think of going in the military, you think of medals, and you think of, I'm thinking that because you have that military background, obviously you're rewarded medals and stuff, in that when you go to boxing, you're doing the same. You're committing to two things that you got to commit to heavily. So you think that the winning the gold medal would justify everything, right?
Everything. And it would, all the people that didn't like me to say that I didn't, so I wasn't soldiering and, you know,
that
example, you know, and stuff like that.
Wash that all away.
They can look back and they can see that, hey, you can make a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And without the military, I don't think I would have made it, man. The military it gave you everything. I didn't have to worry about anything. Like people like Riddick Bowe had to worry about training, you know, playing to train and paying for equipment. We didn't have to worry about paying for nothing.
Wow.
And we didn't have to worry about eating. We didn't have to worry about places to stay or anything, man. I mean, they really took care of it. You had to win. The way they took care of you, they set you up so you can just be all you can be.
Yeah.
Be all you can be, man. That's what I was being, man. I took the run serious. I didn't like running when I first started running. I had to learn how to love running.
Running, yeah.
You have to love it because running and boxing, you can't do one without the other. You cannot box. Unless you want to go in there and be tired and get the shit beat out of you all the time.
Running sucks. I was doing that not too long ago, get ready for this fight. I'm like, man, I ain't done that.
Are you still fighting now?
All right, so a little bit about me. I competed a lot before 2011. Uh-huh. So I broke a bone off in my shoulder. I was throwing like arm hooks, I guess you'd say. And I was about to win $600 or whatever it was. And I was doing this little tournament thing, and the guy that I was fighting had won it the year before, and he was hitting people, and they would just lay down for him. I'm like, man, there's no way. And then I was 198. They had this all fighting heavyways, and I fought a guy that was 282 and was flooring people. He was, he was a lineman or something for App State up there. It was in Boone, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I was scared. The only person that came to see me was my brother. He's sitting out there, and I come. So I go against this guy, man, the big guy. And I was doing well. I mean, I had knocked out a couple people ahead of this. And then I get to this guy. I come out, and I'm like, man, I'm going to run from this guy. I was like, there's no way. I'm like, I'm scared.
He's big.
Yeah, but everybody I've ever been scared of, I've done well against.
Yep.
I didn't realize that until later. Yeah. So I come out, I throw, or he throws something, and I throw two back at him, and then I step back to kind of run, but I'd cut him across his nose.
Whoa, when you see that blood.
Yeah, and I was like a shark, dude. I sat on his hip over here. I just got beside him where he couldn't hit me with that right, and I'm left in him uppercut.
Wow, yeah, that blood.
For three rounds, for the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, he's hitting me. I hear the crowd yelling, move. I'm just taking those blows. All it felt was pressure. Anyway, so they raised my hand when I won, and I couldn't lift my arm.
Whoa.
It was gone. I was scared. And then, because I know the next fight was for the money, and it was like in 2 hours.
Oh, that's right. Those tournaments.
So I came out against that guy, but like I was hyped that I just beat this monster. I was like, I ain't fight anybody in the world, you know?
That guy, yeah.
So I came out against this guy, and I dropped my guard, and he broke my nose first punch. And I was like, but I was still like, that didn't bother me. And I blew blood in his face like that, and I just came out, was tearing him up, had him up against the ropes, and I threw that hook, and just boom, it stuck out and wouldn't come back down.
Whoa.
And I was like, what the heck? And he peeked up at me, and the ref was like, what are you doing? I said, I can't move my arm.
Whoa.
So he waved the whole fight off. I'm like, wait a minute. And then, look, the doctor comes in there, pops my shoulder back into place. I'm bleeding out the face. The newspapers are taking pictures of me. I'm looking like I got the hell beat out of me.
Whoa.
And I was doing well. So then I went into MMA.
So that was bare knuckle?
No, that was just boxing.
Damn.
Yeah. And then I started doing MMA, and my shoulder was just gone. Like, a guy got my back, and then he wrapped his arm under there, and I panicked. He choked me out, and then I went back to work on my wrestling. And he got my shoulder dislocated, and I was like, yeah. So I ended up getting screws and stuff put in it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I moved to Watertown, which years and years later, this was 3 years ago, and saw Johnny Pep's event up there, one of his events, and I was like, man, I could do it again. So they lined me up against a Canadian. I trained for it, and he is a boxing coach. He done went full speed twice, but while I was training, I hadn't been in the ring since 2011, and I smoked his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then I was like, I'm not going to do it again, and he just did it again. I'm probably going to do it a couple more times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey. How about your arm? Is your arm all right to do it? What?
My arms, it's
You're
not
doing MMA, though.
Yeah, my arms.
The MMA?
I'm boxing again.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
That MMA ain't nothing to play with.
Man. No, it ain't.
I did two of those. I did the first, Kimbo's first one. But
his first MMA fight?
That was his first fight.
Really?
That was his first fight. And mine too. And I just thought, you know, looking at the films and all that stuff, you know, people get intimidated.
Yeah.
I wasn't intimidated. I just thought, I was like, I hope he comes in and he wants to do that.
Yeah.
Instead of going in, doing that, taking me down and all that wrestling shit. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I hope he comes in and do exactly what he does on them films.
Right. So that was my thing when I did my first MMA fight, uh-huh. is I fought a guy from a Muay Thai gym, and I thought we were going to stand and bang, which yeah. I was like, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
Because I was always a much better with my hands.
Yep.
And first thing he does is shot in on me. I was like, come on, man.
Oh, man. That's what I was glad Kimbo didn't do.
Yeah.
But he came over and did a little flash, fast thing.
Yeah.
And I was covering up, just waiting on him to finish. The next thing you know,
he dropped,
slides down, and he grabs my legs and starts pulling my legs down. I'm holding the fence like this.
Yeah.
I ain't never did this before.
Yeah, yeah.
The referee came and hit my hand off the fence.
Yeah.
And then my back hit down and like that, and he was on me. And then I ground and pound, I wasn't going for that. So all my energy to push right then.
Yeah.
And I pushed over like that and pushed him over, and my head rolled over under his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he clamped down. So I tapped out.
So that's similar how I lost. Instead of, well, the guy got me in the full mount. Instead of bucking him off like you're supposed to, I kind of dove out of it. Like, I went to this way.
Oh, and then he grabbed
got around my back and grabbed my arm like that. And I panicked. And I was like, because he pulled back, I'm done.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I held it against my chest, and then he choked me out.
Oh, man. That ain't no joke, though, man.
Yeah.
That ain't no joke. But I had neck surgery, and he did this. I was like,
thinking,
I'm out of my element anyway. I'm not going to get hurt.
Right.
I didn't want to make some money, you know. My son always calls them. We watch MMA all the time. He say, oh, my son Xavier, you say, hey, daddy, he's a beast.
He's a beast.
So I wanted to do that. You know, right. I want my son to say I was a beast. So I did it.
Yeah. And that's what my son's 8. So
he's 8?
Yeah, we're trying to get on the same card. That's the last thing I want to do is.
You be on the same card as your son?
Yeah, because Johnny's trying to help us get up. He's like,
is he fighting your son?
Yeah, he's training a little bit. He's training
ready,
with me.
He's ready for a fight then.
He's ready. He's got a lot more work to do to be good.
James
but
playing with
that's what I'm kind of excited about. Yeah, but I'm working with him, and it's kind of hard to find a good gym. So I'm trying to put together a gym back in my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
But and that's where right now?
In Clover, South Carolina. It's right under Charlotte. I mean, we're like 30 minutes from Charlotte.
How long did it take you?
It took 3 hours to get here.
So you're on the other side of Charlotte?
Yeah, we're on the way on the other side of Charlotte.
Ooh, 3 hours, yeah. Because it's only 2.5.
Yeah, to Charlotte. So we're right on the other side.
Okay, that ain't bad, yeah.
But yeah, so I watched a lot of your stuff since I met you.
Uh-huh.
And dude, the way you fight, you're such a cool guy, right? But looking at you is terrifying. Like, you have this machine look to your face. There's no emotion. There's like
it's time to fight.
It's business, dude. It's business. I love it. I think it's like you've got this really warrior mentality because
you know what it was, man? Like, a lot of people, fighters, they're in the dressing room, they're nervous, they're quiet. It just changed me. I like everybody just, I'm just like I am now, man. Yeah. I have everybody laughing and all that other stuff, man. We just have fun. That's how I get all that off my mind. But when you get in the ring, it's just time. I'm just coming at you. Because I didn't have a lot of boxing skills.
Yeah.
But what I did have, I put that pressure on you.
Yeah.
You put that pressure on them, and it changes the whole game. All that boxing stuff, you put the pressure on them, man, all that goes out the window. That's what helped me get to where I was, man. I didn't really know how to box like a technician.
Yeah.
But I could, but I just didn't. It was either for me to bull them, you know, just run them over.
Right.
And except for the big guys like Lennox Lewis and what's the Russian guy's name? What's the guy from Ukraine?
Oh,
Klitschko.
Yeah.
Klitschko.
Yeah, yep.
I didn't train for him, but he's a big dude. That's a big old dude. But I fought them big old guys. He's a big dude.
And you're I don't know how to describe it. Like, you're super talented, but it seems like you came off as almost like an average Joe that was pushing his way through this whole thing, which is kind of like that people can latch onto your story because you're like, I came from not only nothing, but I didn't train for this, but it was only willpower that pushed me to.
That's the story of when I turned pro.
Yeah.
Because when I won the gold medal, that was my dream, and I wanted to do that, and I did that. So when it was time to turn pro, it was like, I ain't get to celebrate really for the gold medal, man. Right. And that's why I didn't really train hard when I was pro.
Right.
If I'd have trained like I trained when I was an amateur, man, I'd probably still be champion. But I'm telling you, I left, it was a lot of mistakes made in a professional career with my trainers. When there's always something when you're dealing with money, it's always something else. And that's another thing, like with the pros, you got to deal with politics and money. Amateurs, it's all heart. It's all heart. It's all about how much you want it, you know, for to make the limit team and all that. It's all heart. And that's another thing I ain't like about the pros, too, because all they do is rip you off. They just rip you off. I don't care how much. Mike Tyson got ripped off so much, it's pitiful.
I'm reading his book, Iron Ambition, right now. And that, like, that business part of it. It's like right at the beginning. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it will. People never know. People would never guess.
But, I mean, but your career is still, I was listening to other podcasts, but they're asking what your biggest regret or something was. But I don't think there's something you should regret. Even off your losses, it's still a really cool story.
It's one of those things like you wouldn't do anything different. You wouldn't take anything back.
And you got your health.
Everything that you did got you to where you are right now.
Right.
So I always tell people, man, if I had to do, there's a couple of things that,
but you can't, though. You know what I mean?
But I don't.
Yeah,
I just don't. But it's always a couple of things that you might want to. But yeah, I probably needed to. But it's always a couple of things, man. But yo, you overcome everything, man. You overcome everything. And I just, I like to tell stories, just I get joy from them too because it brings me back a little bit. But if one or two people can listen to this podcast and get something out of it. And then go somewhere, my job is done. That's what I aim for now. I did my part, ring, all that. I want to encourage other people. I want to use my platform to encourage other people to motivate them to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Whether it's boxing, baseball, whatever, man, the same attitude you got to have.
Yeah, and it's that. I mean, that's what I took away from your story is your will, is your willpower to achieve things. I mean, that's a big... Winning a freaking Olympic gold medal.
I know. Sometimes, man, y'all might think I'm crazy, but I got to pinch myself sometimes.
Yeah.
That's why, I go places I don't like people to announce me and all that stuff. I just want to be me.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I say, man, I wouldn't raise like that, nothing like that. I'm just, I'm just me.
Yeah.
And that's just how I am. And they like it. They love it.
And dude, I mean,
but there's no other way you can be. I know people that go out there and like Kelsey Banks when I first... When I was up before the Olympic team. He was on our Olympic team. He sure was. He was going overseas. He would carry a bag with his pictures in it. Tell people who he is and sign them for him and everything.
Yeah.
I could never do that. I won't even tell
you. I got your autograph.
Talk to you in the bar or whatever. You won't even know who I was unless you knew.
Yeah.
But I ain't going to tell you. I ain't going to sit there and tell you I'm Ray Mercer, man, and I do this. I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah.
I just like to, you get the real people when they just know they're talking to a real person.
And that's what's cool about podcasts is it's not like we didn't give you any questions to prepare for. We're just talking naturally.
Yeah,
and,
just talking.
And
you know my story, too. Yeah, so that makes it easy.
And anyways, one of the most famous things you've done is probably the most brutal knockout I've ever seen in my life.
Tommy Morrison.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you've told the story a million times, but it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it is. I told the story, but I didn't really tell people the real story. I told a guy in New York, Allah, he's a trainer up in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mess around in the city too much.
I forgot what I was getting ready to say. What did I get ready to say?
Yeah.
I forgot what I was getting ready to say, man. But there's something up with this guy, Allah, up in Jersey. I was up there, and you think all the old trainers, all the old-time good trainers are gone?
Yeah.
Until I met this guy, I took that back, man, because his family trains. He's from a boxing family. And his family trains, so he knows the old school and everything. And I was up there. With them guys, and they put the Tommy Morrison fight on. And we was watching the Tommy Morrison, and I was just sitting there, and I just felt like I wanted to tell them really what was going on, because I don't watch it with other people.
Yeah.
And y'all just don't say nothing. But
yeah.
What I really, the whole thing happened, we had the weigh-ins in Madison Square, not Madison Square Garden, but Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
It was outside. And I had a bodyguard that was in the Army. He's about 450 pounds. He won the Strongest Man in the World contest twice.
Yeah.
He was stationed in Baumholder, Germany with me, so he was my bodyguard.
Yeah.
And he told me when Tommy Morrison took his shirt off and he turned around and got on the scale, this guy told me, he said, Ray, all you gotta do is make this guy work for 5 rounds. 5 rounds, because he's gonna be so tired because he's on oil-based steroids. Because he's seen the blackheads on Tommy Morrison's back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's seen the blackheads on his back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we trained for 9 weeks. You know, we getting in there to fight.
Yeah.
When he told me that, it changed the whole thing.
You had a game plan.
He gave me a game plan. He told me, I got in there and I was getting him tired. Mm-hmm. That's why he was hitting me like he was hitting me.
So how do you train like that? So you were training to basically take punches.
Yeah, no, I was training in there, not let him hit me and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He was hitting me in this one with good hooks and everything. And the thing was, just get him tired. Mm-hmm. I changed my whole game plan. My trainer, like, going back to the corner, and he was beating the shit out of me, you know, the first couple of rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm going to get him. I just can't tell them. I changed my game plan. Yeah, man. They thought I was crazy. They like, what are you doing? They let him hit me and all that other stuff. So he kept on doing that. He got some good shots off the end of the third round. Started breathing hard. He started breathing hard. And then the fourth round came, it was time. I got him, it was time at the end of the fourth round. And it wasn't it five, right?
Yeah, you got to the fifth round with
it. Fifth round, it was all over. The game thing, everything worked. All I had to do was to get in there.
That's
he was tired. He missed with the jab. His mouth was wide open and he was just tired, and I just hit him. I just hit him with that jab. I hit him with a jab.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I hit him with. It seemed like it hurt him. Or was that a right hand? I think that was a right hand. No, that was a...
Watch
the damn film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was a right hand. But anyway, I hit him with both
of them. It was a bunch of punches, to be honest with you.
But there was time, man, and it worked. And it worked.
And it's really cool to execute a game plan for a boxer, because I've done it a couple times when I was fighting. And, I mean, nowhere near the caliber of training that you did, but... Yeah. But when you feel like you did what you wanted to do in a fight, you're like,
a whole lot better than me going out there boxing and doing all that, taking all them blows. I mean, I took blows then, but it was a game plan that comes together and makes you feel like you really did something. And it was your game plan. Yeah. It wasn't the trainers.
Yeah.
It wasn't theirs. If I did what they wanted me to do, I might have got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, right.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, you're good.
But, so, you know, I love my trainers, Hank Johnson.
Yeah.
And Tommy Parks. I love my trainer, Coach Murchison.
But it makes you feel like a pro, especially, and that was a title defense, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was my first. That was my first and only.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dude, what's it like to hold that belt, though?
It's nice, man, but like I said.
Was it anything, it wasn't
like the gold medal?
It wasn't like the gold medal.
It was money, and I really didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And I gave it up to fight. I pulled the fight Michael Moore. They wanted me to fight Michael Moore for the title.
Mm-hmm.
I had the WBO title. And I didn't want to fight Mike Warren because I knew him and he was a southpaw.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a choice.
Which is going to be
money to fight Larry Holmes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's why I took Larry. And Larry was my idol, too. I'd rather fight Larry Holmes than Michael Warren.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's my idol. I mean, the money can't even explain it. I got the same money to fight him.
Wow. And you're pretty good friends with him now, right?
Yeah, we'll be seeing them next month. We'll see him all.
Yeah.
You know how to do that. You play golf?
Yeah.
You need to, I'll give you the information. Miss Diane, you sign up for the golf tournament they have every year.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's great. You come too. I got Growth, Shelby.
Yeah.
I got him and his kids. They came. They
really?
Came. Yeah, they met all the best baseball players, basketball players, track people, everybody, man. They got a chance to take pictures with them and everything. They had a great time.
Yeah, dude, I keep up with you, man. You're always doing something cool. Last time we were going to do this podcast, you're like, I got to go to Africa real quick.
Oh. That was the worst 7 days.
Really?
Oh my God.
What did you do over there?
I went over there to.
I saw some videos where you were riding through a town or something, getting some.
Well, you know, we was eating in the village. I'm on film, so I ain't no sense of telling that. I thought I was on the radio. Radio, they can't see my actions, but
That's funny.
You know, the guy took me over there, man. He was, you know, he's a cool dude, but I just, you know what I'm saying? I like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? But we went and ate in the bush with our hands and no paper towels and no spoons or forks or anything. I mean, the real deal.
You had the real deal.
Yeah, then, you know, how they wash their hands is, it's really tripped me out. I love Africa now, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
They bring a bucket, but I like that, for the water. And everybody at the table dips their hands in and wash their hands, like dip the fingers in.
Mm.
And, you know, I ain't do that shit. You know, first thing I did, I went in my pocket and I took out some hand sanitizer. I've never seen that before. I said, I had me some hand sanitizer, baby. The best thing ever, man. Wow. I can't go nowhere without that now.
Heck no.
So I busted out the hand sanitizer. And then the thing that really tripped me out is when you finish eating, you eat with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's
what did you eat?
Fish and chicken.
Fish and chicken.
Fish and chicken mostly. In the village, we ate fish and chicken. The last day.
I mean, how was it prepared now? I mean, like, what?
It's outside on the grill. I mean, it's outside on the grill. It was a whole fish, big fish. You know, they slice it in so it can cook. And it's good. It's good. It's meat. I mean, then the chicken. Chicken is good. Chicken is good. Chicken or fish. It's great. Food was good. But then, you know, I just see how things are, you know, as far as washing dishes and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
We passed by Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's every day for 7 days. I said, that last day, I want Kentucky Fried Chicken. And this guy who brought me over there, it took him 2 hours to get his credit cards and everything together. But he made sure that he got me and his son Kentucky Fried Chicken. Man.
That's awesome.
The last day, man, that was awesome. But then we still had to go to the village to watch him eat. Because he don't eat that stuff.
Dude. So you do pretty good on social media and stuff. You got a pretty good following, and you post a lot, which is good. What was the other thing I was going to ask you? Okay, so let's dive into some modern boxing real quick.
All right.
Jake Paul, right? Yeah. You're seeing these fights that he's putting on?
I don't even watch him.
You don't even watch him?
I don't even watch him. I don't want to give him no... You know, when Mike Tyson fought him, man, it hurt boxing, really.
Right.
It really hurt boxing. You know, if he wouldn't have fought him, then we can say Jake Paul's not relevant. But
yeah.
He fought Mike Tyson now. Now what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, and Mike, oh, man. I don't even like talking about it because it's not real.
Yeah, it's like, all right, so you got this company, TKO, that took over. It's over wrestling, boxing, and MMA now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's it's their part. They own WWE. It's Dana White is in it, and then
I heard about that.
It's a big powerhouse of cool stuff. I mean, what I thought, right? It was unfortunate that it looks like it was Mike Tyson kind of faked that fight, and the next couple ones were terrible. But the only other thing that I took away from it, those undercards were pretty damn good.
It was phenomenal.
That led to a whole woman's card, which I never really followed women's boxing, but that fight before Mike Tyson's fight kind of opened my eyes.
That was a fight.
Yeah, those chicks can bang.
Yeah, those are real fighters.
Yeah, so I don't.
So when they do that, then you get Jake Paul comes in there fighting. Gonna get bullshit.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem is it's drawing people to it, but then it's that part of it's damaging. But there's actually good fights going on because of what he's drawing. So I don't know if it's like a lose lose or a win win or.
I mean, their fights are good up until he gets in the ring.
Yeah,
when he gets in the ring, It's right. acting.
It was act. It was
WWF.
Yeah,
that's what it's like. You sit there, tell Tyson you better not hit me.
Yeah,
I'm in the corner.
Yeah,
I'm. Tyson's gonna knock his ass out. Yeah, self, I don't like it. Then they show all Jake Paul's fights, and they're all staged. They show when the guy put his chin out there for hitting with the right hand, and stuff like that, man. That's not boxing at all. I want everybody to know that. That's not even close to boxing. That is acting.
Yeah,
I mean that's WWF boxing. Is what they do, okay? That's all that is. That's not real fighting.
Yeah.
So when you paying all that money to see that, you're taking away from the real fighters. You're taking away from the real fighters because they are the ones that's in there doing the real fighting. There's no talking. There's no telling people they better not hit you. And you know, there's no script.
Yeah, it's true. With athletic Jake Paul, ability.
That script. I mean, and one of the things that keep his that's. You know, like you said, the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
He has those fights before he fights.
Yeah.
Those are good fights.
Yeah.
They're good fights because they're real fighters
mm-hmm.
and they're real fights. But once he get in, then, you know, he makes a lot of money off of that. I don't know, man. Fighters need to make money some kind of way.
Yeah.
You got to look at it that way, too. Like, you know, he's giving out a lot of money. And a lot of people was challenging him want to fight just because of the money, man. They done gave up. You know, the hard and fighting and the real boxing. It's just people, I think they're going to come around, though. I think they really are.
Yeah.
They'll come around.
Yeah, so we got Canelo and Crawford coming up, too, pretty quick. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Canelo's going to win.
You think Canelo's going to win?
I think Canelo's going to win because he's got the most experience. He's fought the most talented guys, and he's bigger than him. Bigger than Crawford. I'm gonna tell you, every time you think he's gonna lose, that dude gets in there and wins.
Yeah,
I think I got money on it. $50.
$50. Oh man,
I got 50 bones.
All right, I'm gonna put $50 on it because I think Crawford's gonna win.
You think Crawford's gonna win? Oh, there's gonna be $50. It's on TV.
It's live. $50. Yeah, I think I saw Canelo slowing down a little bit in the last maybe just the last time I saw him fight. And I just kind of, Crawford.
I don't even think I've really seen his
life. Yeah.
I'm just going off. I'm old school.
But
seriously, the people, the experienced people that he's fought, man, it carries a long way.
Yeah.
Crawford hadn't fought. I mean, he hadn't fought the people that Canelo fought.
I mean,
Camelo's getting older now. He's slowing down.
Crawford looks like he's in the prime.
Oh, he's
like,
hungry. He looks good now.
And he looks like he wants him bad.
He's a great fighter. And all I'm doing is being old school and going off of old school logic. Like, he fought better fighters.
But listen, I actually listened to the podcast where you were talking about Mayweather fighting McGregor. And the way you predict that fight was pretty damn accurate. So that's why I might be short $50 now for sure. But
yeah, well,
I don't know.
You're gonna be short, I think.
So we're gonna get ready to wrap this up here. You got anything else coming up?
Because
I know you're somewhere
we're going
all
to
the time.
To the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Here in a couple of weeks, next month. And that's the biggest thing that's going on for me ever because, you know, I'm in that and most of my fights were out of Atlantic City. I fought Tommy Morrison there too.
Wow.
Atlanta, they treat me good. They give me rooms and all that stuff, man.
Really?
Oh, man. It's just lovely, man. It's like having I'm like the hometown favorite. You know, which they have a lot of, man. They got a lot of fighters there, man. But everybody respects everybody. All the Jersey fighters.
Yeah.
Big ups to the Jersey fighters.
And, Johnny Pep said he was hanging out with you a little bit in the Hall of Fame. And was it New York?
Yeah, we were in Canastota.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And we have, You got to come to that. You never been?
No, I didn't, man. He's trying to get me to come up there. He's working all these ringside things now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was at there's a picture of him on Netflix where he was at the girl fight that we were just talking about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was out there working one of the corners down there. Oh, wow. My man, Johnny Pep.
Yeah, that's my man right there.
Yeah, I got to get up there. He's like, you come to New York and watch the fights with me. I was like,
go, man.
Okay. You know,
I got one African guy that brought me to Africa. He told me if I can get to Vegas, he got my room and ticket to the fight.
Shoot.
And then my wife works for American Airlines. I get to fly for free.
Dang. All right, now I know where I got to get my
that's
wife.
That's what I told him. I told him. But I told him we was in Africa that I could fly for free. So that's why he did that.
Oh, yeah.
He does the Uber driving. He ain't got no damn money.
Yeah.
So he owed me $2,000. So I made him pay me $1,000.
Yeah.
And then I told him just last week he was paying me $200 every Sunday. And I found out he's a cab driver. And I told him, man, I said, man, you don't have to pay me no more. I said, this is the last payment, man, because, you know, it's hard being in New York. And being I didn't know he did that. I thought he's one of the promoters or something like that.
Yeah.
He got big money. No. I mean, I'm not talking about him right now. I'm just saying he's a cab driver.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I don't want to, you know, him.
I was like, there's no way that I would go in debt to you, by the way.
Yeah.
You look like you're in good shape to this day, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, I ain't doing no fighting. Too old, man. Father time. See, you're young, man.
Shoot.
You're young, man. But I'm going to tell you, man, the older you get, your brain cells start to get.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you can't get hit, like, hard. I mean, that's most of these.
Right.
Well, I don't want to even talk about that. But boxing affects the brain, man.
Yeah.
And I've seen that, man. That's why, you know, sort of.
But that was one thing I was going to say about your career, too, is you came out and you seemed pretty healthy.
Yeah,
you know
I am. If you don't talk to my wife, I'm healthy, man. But you talk to my wife, I got all kind of problems. You know how that is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I came out good, man. You know, I ain't take too many butt whoopings. I ain't get in the head too many times. They say I could take a good punch, but I ain't do that too many times. And the key to that is taking a good punch.
Mm-hmm.
To all you young fighters out there, is keeping your eyes open. That's what one thing that I've done, man. And everybody say I got tough chins. Ain't the chins, it's your eyes, because the punches that hurt you are the ones that you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in there and you got your eyes,
That's one thing I was wanting to ask you. Where do you keep your eyes when you're fighting?
Right here.
Center mass?
Center mass. That's where you're supposed to have it. Where you can see everything. Try to see everything. Yeah. That's where you're supposed to be.
I try to look in people's chins, but I noticed in the last fight when I was just going, trying to get that dude, I was looking right in the eyes.
The chin can move fast, but this right here?
Yeah.
You got to move a whole lot to move that. I mean, it's good to just aim for right here, man. That's where most of you supposed to just aim for right there, but I can say that, but I ain't do that. I aim for the head. I was a headhunter.
They call me a headhunter, too.
Oh, man, it's hard going to the body boxing. I ain't do all that.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, my first fight ever, scared to death. We were in some armory.
Oh, the first fight, Ralph.
So I'm scared. I'm not scared of the fight. I know I can fight.
Yeah.
Just be in front of those people. Dude, I was the kid in school that was like, if they're singing or whatever, I'm up on stage like,
I was
nervous, dude. So I come out. I'm in Nike shocks and basketball shorts.
Uh-huh.
The guy I'm fighting, he's got his trunks and boots on. He looks sharp. And he comes across that ring. And D'Angelo Williams from the Panthers, he also was running back for the Steelers.
Oh, yeah?
He was sitting front row. And so this guy came across, and he was moving real good. I'm just, like, stiff.
Uh-huh.
He hits me a couple times, and I end up pushing him. The ref's all over me. You can't push him.
Oh, yeah.
And, dude, something clicked. I threw one punch in that whole fight, that left hook. Boom. He hits the ropes and then collapses into the ref on his knee.
What a feeling, huh?
23 seconds, and stage fright gone. And that's what the next night I got the hell beat out of me. And then I went 2 weeks later and did it again and got the worst whooping ever. But after that, I stopped and I trained for a whole year and came back and was wrecking stuff for a while.
So training is everything, man.
Yeah.
And your health depends on your training. I'm just telling you now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, you got to get in shape to be fighting. You know, you can fight some bums.
Yeah.
But nobody that can hurt you.
Yeah. That's why my biceps killing me right now. So
you have to wait. That's what I got. That's why I'm so slim. Now people don't know, but when I was trying in the limit trials and all that stuff, when I had to eat to make 201.
Oh wow.
I can eat anything I wanted. Them little guys, they couldn't even sit next to me. Mm. Trainers wouldn't even let them sit at my table because I could eat ice cream. I eat everything I wanted to eat, candy, all that.
That's what you got to do. You got to eat. Eat like crazy.
You got to eat. I mean, and my son, he played football, but all he come home and eat is some fucking noodles.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, hey, you can eat energy, and you get that from eating meat. Food. Yeah. You need more than noodles. You ain't have no energy. Mm-hmm. And he did. He did good. He was a good football player. But he probably could have went further if he had just, you know, sometimes just listen and eat. Because that's where your energy comes from. Eating. Mm-hmm. Boxing too.
Yeah.
If you seen that one movie, what's that one movie where this guy used to eat all? He had to eat.
Oh God! Hang on.
He was a drunk.
Oh, the damn was it Warrior? What the Warrior?
What's the name of that movie? But anyway, he was a drink, but he would go fight in the streets. And then he would get his butt whooped all the time. Then one guy told him he got to eat before he go fight, and he started whooping butt.
Oh,
he was a drunk. It was a good movie, man.
Yeah, I think it was. Was it the one with Christian Bale in it, maybe?
Was it? I don't know, man. That was a great
movie. I had to find it.
That was a good boxing movie. That was a good movie.
But all right, Ray, well, we're going to stop it right here, dude. I appreciate you letting us come hang out. Yeah, man.
All right, we're going to talk about my kids not telling me my fan is broke up here in the pool room. I want y'all to know. Y'all should have told me about that.
That's great.
All right, thank you, Karen.
Wing night on a vacay. It's beat, so I'm heading to the room. A Nelly playing in the background. Not a boy should give it till 2. We pick the spot with the crib, we grab a few drinks and we hit the floor. A shorty popped up, grabbed me by the shirt and said, "Is she want some more?" And I said, "And this she is, swinging my hands, singing and dancing, saying you the man." And this you are.